I'm going to pick up this morning on what we were sharing last Wednesday night regarding prayer, although we're going to go a little bit different direction with it, but we're going to continue on this because if the Spirit of God spoke about something, we don't want to just, you know, visit it one service and then kind of move on. He spoke very definitely to me about the importance of bringing our supply of the Spirit in prayer and how that's not just for ministers. You know, you read through Ephesians chapter 6 and it says over and over again, it gets down there, talks about putting on the armor of God, and then it gets to the bottom of that and it says praying always with all manner or kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, that's talking to all of us. Prayer is not just for ministers. All believers are invited to the throne of grace and invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. That's the privilege. I think it's the crowning benefit of salvation. Of course, the new birth, you know, that's it. But right on the other hand, that came as a package deal. And there are benefits. And I believe the crowning benefit is the ability to come boldly to the throne of grace and talk to the Father and receive from Him, talk things over with Him, get direction from Him. Fellowship with God is huge. I don't know where I'd be without it. I wouldn't be making it, I'll tell you that. But thank God we can go to the throne of grace. Now, but our prayer life as believers is really, we're to be, according to Philippians 1:19. If you've ever read that verse, you know what it says, or you can turn there right now and just look at it. I'm not going to use it as my text, but Philippians 1:19, we've referred to it often. Paul was in prison. He said, I know this is going to turn. This situation that I'm in is going to turn, and it's going to turn because of your prayers. Now, the King James says, and the supply, or even the supply of the Spirit, I believe it says, and the supply, if I remember right, your prayers and the supply of the Spirit. Now, if you look that word up, and could have been translated even the supply. So their prayers were going to make that supply of the Spirit to Paul for him to get out of the situation he was in. Do you know that we're to be praying for ministers? Because they encounter things because of their place in the body. They encounter things. Satan's trying to knock them out so he can knock a whole bunch of people out. And we have an assignment as people of God to focus in on praying for ministers. Paul said there in Ephesians 6, praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication. Then he said, and for me. And for me. He's a minister. He's saying, pray for ministers. And we know how to pray for ministers. From that verse, that utterance would be given unto them. They'd speak boldly. And so many things that signs and wonders would be done so forth and so on. They'd be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. There's so many encounters with demonic forces that try to destroy the work of God. Hey, I don't know if anybody knows it or not, but just last week, I believe, the beginning of the week, I believe it was, here at the church, a freezer motor, I guess, or compressor, however, burnout, and there had been about a 2 week. Really, it was longer than this, but a really intense 2 week. I think it was about 2 week battle. I call it a battle because it was crazy. The stuff that was going on over the fire alarm system in the EDM building. I'm sorry, not the EDM, the family center building. And for a couple of weeks, that thing was going off in the middle of the night. Staff had to run down here. We'd get it fixed and it would whack out. And you could tell there was a battle going on. I kept sensing there's more to this than just, a fire alarm system. There's a battle going on here. This thing is whacking out. And so we kept on it, and they kept saying, we can't do this, we can't do this. We kept on it, we kept on it, we kept on the technician, and he's out here. And finally, we got the board replaced, and we got some of the fire, what do we call those fire sensors, fire detectors. So we got some of them replaced, and I don't know how many days it was after that that this compressor in this freezer burned up, and the fire alarm went off. And the staff ran down here, and the kitchen, the back storage area behind the kitchen was full of smoke. And the fire department came right away, and they have a way of testing where the hot spot is, and they could see it even through the smoke. And that thing was so hot, it was heating up the wall, and the thing was about to burst into flames. And we got that thing shut off. Amen. That's just a demonic attack. Are you with me out there? That God spared us from. Yeah. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying, there's so many things that come against the work of God. We've got to be people that watch over the work of God in prayer and bring a supply of the Spirit to it, or there's going to be things get in that otherwise should not be getting in and happening. How many of you have noticed that there's just not a lot that gets in the Spirit of Faith Family Church? Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God is telling me and actually warning me, we've got to pick up the pace in prayer here. Because of where we are and where we're going and what God wants to do, the enemy tends to focus in on that. And I would say he tries to knock some things out. And there's been a couple of things in the last couple of weeks. I could tell you other things that just like, whoo, boy, that was an attack of the enemy. Thank God that was averted. And things are being averted. But we've got to stay watchful because the enemy walks about. Remember the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. Because the enemy walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him in faith. Well, part of being sober, you remember it says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. Watching. Watching includes being sober. Pay attention to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, because there are things the enemy wants to do that are going to get in if we don't catch it in the Spirit and deal with it with our authority. And then on the other side, there are things God wants to do that if we're not tuned into the Spirit through having a prayer life, that we'll miss the cues and the promptings of the Spirit and won't catch them and act on what God's wanting us to do. And therefore, things that should have been done were not done. And there are people that need our prayer life that are going to encounter things, even in our congregation, that if we don't bring a supply of the Spirit to them whenever we have the prompting to, then things will get into their life. They'll be taken out. They'll have heartache. They'll have things that come against them that should never have gotten into their lives. Maybe they're baby Christians and don't know their rights and their privileges, and so there are things that they didn't pick up in the Spirit. Well, we're called to watch over them. Am I making any sense this morning? And so I want to talk more about that, but I want to talk about it this morning in the context of recognizing the cues of the Spirit. Actually, we're not going to spend as much time on that as we're going to spend time on just simply learning to respond to the Spirit. You understand what I mean by respond. The Spirit of God can prompt you and I about something, but if we don't respond to that prompting, then what God wanted to do won't be done. Now, I don't know if I said where to go. I don't think I gave you a reference to go to, but we're going to start in Luke chapter number 13. I want to give you three references here in Luke. Luke chapter 13 is where we're going to start. And I want you to notice Jesus, in these three references, he's longing and yearning for something. And I want you to see the pattern that what Jesus longs or yearns over. And even in one case here, wept over. And this is in Luke chapter number 13 to begin with. We're going to start here verse number 34, Luke 13, 34. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together, or I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. Now notice this, and you would not. And you would not. Now what is that saying? What does he say? You know, some people think that God can just do anything that he wants to. This is, first of all, saying he can't just do anything he wants to in our lives. He needs a response from us. Are you with me? He needs us to respond. Notice he said to Jerusalem, how often, and he wept. This is a yearning of his heart, a longing of his heart. God wants to do so much more for his people. There are so many things that he sees the enemy is going to try to do, that he endeavors to get his people to respond to him, to turn that, to change that, to avert that. And yet, if there is no response, he cannot do what he longs to do. Somebody said, well, I believe he can do anything. Well, why couldn't he just gather Israel together or Jerusalem together as a hen gathers her chicks? He said so. He said why in this verse. He said, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? But then he said, and ye would not. Four of the saddest words in the Bible. And you would not. In other words, he wanted to, but there was no response on man's end. Am I making any sense? Are you understanding? And so he went on to say, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, notice you and I's well-being, because he mentioned here, because there was no response, he couldn't do what he wanted to do, and therefore, he said, their house was left unto them desolate. That just simply means there was going to be a lot of destruction in Jerusalem, and you know that happened 70 years later. But it stayed that way for generations, actually. But what I wanted you to see was, he's basically saying their well-being depended on their response. Listen to that very carefully. Their well-being depended on their response. Now, when we talk about responding to God, we're talking about responding to either his word or responding to his spirit. Now, I'm going to emphasize responding to the promptings of the spirit in prayer this morning, but you understand there's more to it than just the emphasis I'm going to place on this morning. So, I wanted you to see that. Now, he said, I wanted to do this, but you would not. I wanted you to see the long, what Jesus, the yearning of Jesus' heart was over. What the weepings were over. The weepings were over how much more he wanted to do, but there was no response on the part of man. And so he couldn't do it. You know, the big father heart of God wants to do so much for his children. He loves us and he wants to do so much for us, but he needs a response. I'm reminded of a story Brother Hagin told years ago about a missionary that he was really got on his heart. I believe it was a minister's conference, if I remember right, that he got this missionary on his heart. And so the missionary was home from whatever country he was stationed in, and it was at this conference, and Brother Hagin knew him and took some time each afternoon between the morning and evening sessions to pray for him in the afternoon, and they'd go into whatever room it was, and what Jesus said here happened in this situation with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin's praying for this man. The missionary is dying of cancer. He's not given much more time to live. He's actually bedfast. He's in a bed. I guess, I don't know if it's a hotel or wherever they were. But this man is bedfast. He's in the latter stages of cancer, dying of cancer. And Brother Hagin's praying for him. You know, James 5 says, in verse 16, the King James says, I'll just quote the Amplified, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, King James says, avails much. The Amplified says, makes tremendous power available. You know, you can pray the power into manifestation on behalf of those who need it. Hallelujah. That's what Paul was saying in Philippians 1:19. Your prayer makes tremendous power available to me, and I know this will turn. to my salvation. King James says salvation, it means I'll get out of jail. I know this thing I'm in will turn. Do you know there's some things that need to turn? There's some things in the body of Christ that need to turn. There's some things in you and I's life. There's some things in your family's life. There's some things here at Spirit of Faith Family Church. There's some things that need to be turned. They need to start going a different direction. Well, why haven't they? Somebody hasn't done something to tap into the power of God. God's will is not that things go the direction of the enemy so often. He wants to bless. He wants to deliver. He wants everything in his word. That's what he wants. And he needs somebody to respond to him. Well, Brother Hagin's praying for this man, and this man's dying of cancer. See, here's a laborer in the kingdom of God that's getting ready to be taken out prematurely. God doesn't want that. That's not God's plan. When people see what is happening in someone's life, don't just assume that it's God's will. Find out what the Word says and know His will from His Word. And if what is happening is against God's will, against God's Word, then let's do something to help, to either lay hold of it or help somebody lay hold of what belongs to them. Because we can sit back and just let it happen, or we can step up, take our place in prayer, and say, no, Father, this is not your will. We're pleading this person's case. And we can lay hold of the power of God and bring it into manifestation on their behalf. We can't heal them. We can't get them to receive the power of God and receive the healing. But we can make it available to them to where they have every opportunity to receive and the thing turn. You understand? And so Brother Hagin is making power available to this man who's dying of cancer. It's not God's will that he die of cancer. He is a child of God. He's redeemed. And also besides that, he's a laborer in the kingdom of God. We need all the laborers we can get. We don't need them being taken out. Brother Hagin's praying for this man. And while he's praying, while Brother Hagin's praying, I think it was on the third day if I remember right. I could be wrong about that. But while he's praying, suddenly Brother Hagin looked up and there stood Jesus at the end of this man's bed. Brother Hagin saw him with his eyes just like he could see another natural human being standing there. And Brother Hagin saw Jesus, and the man in the bed, whenever Brother Hagin looked and saw Jesus, the man on the bed, later Brother Hagin found out the man never saw him, but he sensed his presence. You realize you can see into the realm of the Spirit, that's a manifestation of discerning of spirits, or you can simply perceive it or know it intuitively. You can know without a manifestation of the Spirit. You can know a lot of things, what's going on in the spirit realm. And this man on the bed never saw Jesus, never had a vision, but he sensed Jesus is standing at the end of my bed. The man's bedfast, but he jumped out of bed, ran to the end of the bed, knelt down. Brother Hagin said, I can see Jesus. He never did. He knelt down right where Jesus was standing, right in front of where Jesus was standing. He knelt down right there, and he knelt down as if he were going to receive his healing. But Brother Hagin said the man knelt there for a second, and then he got back up and backed away. And he said, the man just shook his head and said, I can't receive my healing. Brother Hagin said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. He said, Jesus is here. He's come to heal you. And the man said, no, I can't. I can't. I don't know if it was condemnation or what it was. For some reason, the man just backed away and would not receive his healing. And the Bible, Brother Hagin said that the man went back and got in bed, and he said, I just can't receive my healing. And Jesus is standing there. Tears started streaming down Jesus' eyes, his face. And he said, see? He told Brother Hagin, looking at Brother Hagin, he said, see, I've come to heal him. See, in response to Brother Hagin's prayers. You all out there? This is something, a manifestation of the Spirit in response to prayer. And a supply was made to this man. And Jesus turned to Brother Hagin and said, see, I've come to healing, and he won't let me. He won't let me. Listen to that. He won't let me. No, Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to heal him. He said, I've come to heal him, but he said he won't let me. What does that mean? God needs a response on man's side to do anything that God wants to do. There always has to be a response. Now, somebody said, why on earth would the man not let him? Well, it must have been condemnation. I don't know. I don't know the whole story. But see, condemnation will make you do things that back away from what God wants to bless you with and make you feel unworthy. And the devil will help you with that. And we need to make a supply of the Spirit to people to help them get their minds renewed so that they can let God do what He wants to do and receive. Say, receive. Now, what is the point? The more we respond, the more we can receive. There's more to receiving from God than just faith. Receiving requires a response. Amen. Brother Hagin said, Jesus looked at him and said, see, I've come to heal him and he won't let me. And then he said, he'll be dead in 3 days. And he did. He died on the third day. Now, was that God's will? Oh, no. Oh, no. Was it God's will that Jerusalem become desolate? No, no, no. Jesus wept over it. He said, I long to do more for you. But he said, you would not. Are you getting this morning? All right. So, but go now to the book of Luke, the 13th. You're in the book of Luke, but go to you're in the third chapter, 13th chapter. Excuse me. Go to the seventh chapter. The seventh chapter of Luke. The seventh chapter of Luke. This passage, let's see here. The seventh chapter. I know there's a reason I went to this chapter. I'm not sure. I'm having to look here. Okay, yeah, here it is. The seventh chapter. Notice what Jesus said in verse 30. It says, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him, or John. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? He said, they are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you. Now, some other translations said, played wedding music. We've piped unto you or played wedding music and you have not danced. We have mourned. And another translation says, played funeral. You know how children do. They play. And they act out. Some of your children have acted out. They've set up, I've heard you tell the stories, they've set up in the living room or maybe on the hearth of the fireplace. One of them stood up there, they're the preacher, you know, and they put their little sister and their little brother out there, and they're the congregation, and the preacher comes down and he receives the offering. You ever seen children play church? Well, see, he's saying the children in the marketplaces, they were playing funeral, they were playing wedding, they were playing and acting out different scenes they had seen, you know, in their culture. He said, you know, children are over there playing, and they're playing like wedding. And he said, people are just walking by, and they're not responding. You know, playing wedding music, and they're not getting out there and dancing like they're at a wedding. They're going about their business. And they're not getting out there and crying like they're at a funeral. They're going about their business because they're just looking over there and said, that's just children playing. You understand? And so we've piped or played wedding music, and you have not danced. We have mourned or played funeral, and you have not wept. Then he said, for John the Baptist came neither eating and drinking wine, and you say he has the devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. In other words, Jesus is saying the Jews are like stubborn children who won't take part in what the Spirit of God is doing. They won't respond. Are you with me? They refuse. He's talking about John preaching. He's talking about Jesus preaching there in verse 33 and 34. And Jesus comes, John comes. They bring a message from heaven, and they refused every proposition offered by John, every proposition offered by Jesus, and they wouldn't respond. What's the point? Jesus is saying that nation wouldn't respond. There was not a response. Amen. So what happened? They didn't receive more. He wanted to do so much more. Can you see that? And God's saying, I hear that in the Spirit today concerning the situation we're in our nation, concerning the spiritual weakness in the body of Christ at large. I'm hearing the Spirit of God saying in the Spirit, I'm looking for somebody to respond to me. I need somebody to respond. I'm hearing Ezekiel 22, verse number 30. Now you say, what's Ezekiel 22, verse number 30? Well, I'll just read that. You remember he said there was things happening there in Israel, if you read the verses before it, things that weren't right, things that weren't of God, things that weren't the plan of God. And in Ezekiel 22, verse number 30, God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Notice, God's saying, I want to do something. I want to change some things. I want some things to be different. He said, so I look for somebody. I look for a man to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap. In other words, to pray. I look for somebody to pray so that what's getting ready to happen won't happen. Because he goes on and says, verse 30, it says, I look for a man stand in the gap, make up the hedge, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own ways have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. In other words, God said, I didn't want this judgment to fall. I didn't want what's getting ready to happen to happen. But the sin in the land's calling for it. You understand? And God's saying, I'm a merciful God. You know, the Bible says he delights in mercy. You know, the Bible said that his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking to show himself strong on the behalf of someone whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. He's looking here for somebody in Ezekiel, somebody to pray that what's getting ready to happen won't happen. Now, let me say something to you. I know some people don't like what I'm getting ready to say, but it's the truth. What's happening in our nation right now is the church's responsibility. Somebody said, well, the government needs to do this. The government needs to do that. Turn that right on yourself. Because God's saying, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. What happens in the land is up to God's people. I said, what happens in the land is up to God's people. Now, I'm in on that just as much as you're in on that. You understand? The body of Christ is responsible for what happens in a nation. This is our nation. We are a higher seat of authority in our nation than the government itself. You say, I don't believe that. Well, see, you don't know you're seating with Jesus far above, like we were preaching on Easter Sunday, last Sunday. Amen. We have access to the throne of grace. Yes, natural man has things to do. The government has things to do. But see, all they do is in the natural. We go to a higher place. We go in the spirit. And we go to a higher place and we plead the case of the nation. And if necessary, repent. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm preaching real good right there on the couch. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching real good. Now, so he said, I sought for a man. I sense this yearning in the body of Christ today saying, I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for somebody to pray that will turn this, because there's some things that need to be turned. You know, too often we're disobeying the Bible. We're complaining about government and not praying for our government. Huh? Come on now. And so that's why things are the way they are. But see, I'm just going to go ahead and preach what God's telling me to preach. And I'm not going to just preach it. I'm practicing this now more than I ever have. Thank God, even though maybe we let some things in as the body of Christ, thank God we can get it turned around yet still. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen? But what does God need? God needs a response. Amen. And so that's how we're going to receive what we need to receive here. Now, when the Spirit says he wants to do something in our lives, in our church's life, in an era, in our nation, he looks for someone who's going to respond to him. Amen. And those who do become the ones that he uses to bring it to pass. Amen. Now, people, natural-minded people see those in the natural who are doing what they do to turn things. But do you know so many times they can do nothing unless the power of God backs them up, because the church prayed and made a supply of the Spirit to them. Amen. I know sometimes we don't like to hear this kind of preaching because it puts responsibility where responsibility belongs. See, too many people are trying to leave it all up to God. But there in the book of Luke, the 13th chapter, that wasn't all up to God that Jerusalem be spared from that desolation. Are you out there? Now, we read Luke chapter 13. We read Luke chapter 7. Let's go now to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. Notice Jesus. Notice the yearning of Jesus there in Luke chapter 13 and Luke chapter 7. What's he yearning over? He's yearning for men to respond to him. You see, he can't do our responding part. That's our part. But look in Luke chapter number 19 now. Luke chapter number 19. Notice this verse in Luke 19 verse 41. When he was come near unto the near, he beheld the city. This is over Jerusalem. And he wept over it and saying, if thou hadst known, talking about Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, if you had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Notice that. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench round about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Now notice, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now notice, he wept. Notice verse number 41. He wept over the city and said, if you had known, if you had just known, if you had just known that things that belong to your peace. The Amplified says, your freedom, things that belong to your freedom from the distresses experienced as a result of sin. Your safety, prosperity. Amen. Are you out there? Your security, happiness depends on keeping a spiritually sensitive heart about you and responding. Amen. There's so many things that depend on us paying attention to the Holy Ghost. And when he says, pray in the Spirit right now, we pray in the Spirit right now. Not later. Sometimes we say, well, I'll get to that. I got natural things I got to give to. Well, see, later on, that natural things, if natural things keep us out, later on, the anointing won't be there like it is whenever it falls. So oftentimes, people say, I'll get to that later. Well, there might not ever be a later. Plus, the devil will keep bringing up distractions. We got to start be willing to lay aside natural things to give ourselves to spiritual things. And when the Holy Ghost prompts us, I don't mean you got to be praying, you know, on your knees, so to speak, praying 24/7. You got a natural side to your life. God knows that. We know that. We're not putting anybody in condemnation. But it's time for us to start catching these cues. Because I'll be honest with you, more I get into the Spirit, the more I realize there's so many things that need prayer about, the more I realize that must mean there's not many people giving themselves to praying these things out. Because I get in the Spirit and boom, 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 there's all kinds of things that need prayer. Amen. Not trying to be mean this morning. We're just trying to wake us up because the Spirit of God's saying we've got to pray and bring our supply or things will get in that don't belong in our lives. And if we don't pray, the will of God won't be done. Amen. So Jesus said here, there's things that are attached to our freedom from the distresses experienced by sin. You know, there's a lot of heartache in people's lives, and it's because of a prayerlessness. It's because of the people aren't watching in the Spirit. They're not paying attention. They're not living close enough to God to pick up things. Now, lest you think I'm talking just about other people. I've missed things in my life too many things I've missed in my life. But how many of you know we need to stop having that testimony and start having the testimony? Let me tell you about how the Spirit of God moved on me and how this happened, how that happened. That needs to become more and more our testimony. So can you see the pattern? Jesus is yearning. Notice what he's yearning over. He's yearning over men's response. He's looking for a response. Now, amen. Are you still out there? Let's go on here a little bit further here. When he sees somebody who's interested enough to respond to him, he goes further with them. Amen. Responding opens your heart and allows God to say more. You can have a prompting, oh, something's unsettled in my spirit. That's a prompting. That's a cue of the Spirit. Sometimes we think it's depression. And then I know there is such a thing as depression. And it has to be dealt with by taking authority over it. But some things are not depression, it is a prayer assignment. You understand? We got to pick these things up and recognize the difference. And so whenever God sees a man who responds to these prayer assignments, then and what happens is they begin to respond. That opens up their heart and he can begin to say more to them. And whenever he's allowed to say more to them, he can take them on into the Spirit and move with the Spirit through them into an anointing to change it. Are you with me? I'm getting utterance to say things I haven't been able to say. Now, in 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 11, 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11, this is a story, you remember, Samuel was dedicated. Samuel's mother had not been able to have a baby, and she prayed, and God heard her prayer and granted her request, and she had Samuel. And she said, I'm going to dedicate Samuel to the Lord. And whenever she did that, I can't remember, I think it was seven more children. She had seven more children. Amen. She gave the first to the Lord, and God gave her a whole bunch more. Well, what does it mean, dedicate him to the Lord? She took him down to the temple and said to the high priest, that it was Eli at that time, here, I'm just going to let him live here and use him and take care of him. Let him help you around here and so forth and so on. And you know how God raised up Samuel to become a great prophet in the nation. But in verse 1, Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, verse number 1. The whole story is down through verse 11. I'll just paraphrase some of this. It basically said, the child Samuel ministered under the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. In other words, the Amplified says, visions were rare and precious. In other words, there wasn't much moving of the Spirit in the nation at the time. Amen. Come on, look at me. Listen to me. Amen. There was little or no manifestation of the Spirit. And so these things were rare. But whenever Samuel's there in the temple, verse 2, it says, it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eye began to wax dim that he could not see. Verse 3, and ere the lamp of God, which represents the moving of the Spirit or the fire of the Spirit, before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. In other words, completely left. The fire of God completely left. Before it went completely out. Listen to me. There, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And notice what it says here in verse 5. He ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Now, I won't read the whole thing, but that happened three times. You remember that? And he kept responding, listen, but he responded, not in the Spirit, he responded in the natural. Listen, you and I can have promptings and leadings of the Spirit and not respond to the Spirit, but respond in the flesh. I'll be honest with you, God is endeavoring to move in many churches today, but they respond in the emotions. And God considers responding in the flesh or responding in the emotions as no response at all. Listen to me. Samuel was a young child. He didn't know the ways of the Spirit. See, you and I need to and should becoming more and more acquainted with how the Holy Ghost manifests himself. But not only how he manifests himself, what those cues are. Amen. This is a cue. This is God calling to him, and he's responding, but he's young in spiritual things and doesn't recognize the voice of the Lord. And so he responds in the natural. And God, and he ran to Eli, you remember, and Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go lay down. That happened three times. Finally, Eli perceived what happened, and he said, well, next time, I realize this is the Lord now talking to you. And he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say, Lord, here am I. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. And so Samuel went and lay down, and the Lord came and stood. The Bible said God came and stood beside him and called, as before, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now notice, as soon as Samuel responded and responded towards God and responded in the Spirit, God talked to him further. Did you get that? Somebody said, I don't think he doesn't seem like God talks to me much. Well, you have to go back to where he spoke and you didn't respond. Are you still there? Come on now. I know it's not necessarily feel good. God's going to give everybody a new house and a new car by the end of the week. Praise God. But yet, right on the other hand, this is where real freedom is. This is where this is where our well-being is. We already saw that in Luke chapter number 13 and Luke chapter number 19. This is where our well-being is attached to more than just our faith and our faith confession. It's attached to our response. And sometimes we don't respond because it's prayer and it doesn't concern us. It concerns somebody else. Our well-being is still attached to that. Let me tell you why. Because when you respond to the Spirit in one area, it opens the door for the Holy Ghost to move in every other area of your life. Because all He needs is a response. We've got to get a hold of that. We've got to understand that. And so what God's saying to Eli here is, He's trying to get his attention. He's trying to talk to him. And Eli kept responding, but he kept responding in the natural. I've known at times that my response has not been towards God. It's been toward recreation or something other. You know, I'm hungry for something. I don't know. I'm just not satisfied right now. And I respond in the wrong direction. And so God doesn't talk further. But see, Samuel, when he finally responded, and he responded in the right direction. He responded toward God. Then God took that as permission. You listen to me? As permission to say some more. As permission to move on him by the Holy Ghost. And that anointing came on him to use him the way God wanted him to be used. If you read verses 10, 11, down and through there, after he said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," God began to tell him what was coming in the nation and even in the priesthood. Are you with me? And he's a young child. God began to move because he began to respond. Are we getting a hold of this? The Lord is such a gentleman. He will not coerce himself upon any of us. He'll gently nudge us. He'll gently move on us. And these, maybe we should spend some time talking about these ways he moves on. You can have somebody's face just flash before you. You can have somebody, you can just have somebody's name come to you. You can have a yearning in your heart towards prayer. There's so many things. Maybe we could talk about them in some service. But the point is, however the Lord begins to move, He's a gentleman. He won't coerce you to respond. Responding is our side. Amen. And so He's such a gentleman, He even asked permission to speak to us. He asked permission to speak to Samuel. Isn't that right? And so our response, listen, our response is His permission. You have to understand that. Somebody said, "Well, the Lord's permitted to talk to me anytime." Not if we don't respond. God doesn't see that as permission. Amen. With Him, to intervene without invitation, hello, is an interference. That's the way God thinks. God is a gentleman. The Spirit of God is a perfect gentleman. Demons coerce people. They try to force people. But God won't do that. God is love, and love does not coerce. Listen, we've got to start realizing that the lack of coercion, though, does not mean that it's less important that we respond. A lot of times people think, well, you know, God's not making me, so it must not be important. That is a misinterpretation of what God's doing. The lack of coercion does not mean yielding to this is not important. Listen, people's lives are saved because someone yielded to a little prompting. It started as a slight prompting, but as they yielded, an anointing came on them to travail and intercede, and something was changed that otherwise would not have been changed. But it all started with a slight response, just a slight prompting, and just a little bit of response. Do you realize that because demons force people, people have the idea that that's the way God does things too. He does not. He's a gentleman. Amen. These promptings sometimes are just an inner witness. And I'll be honest with you, the inner witness can be ignored because it's not an inner hit on the head. You know what I mean? A stick. It's not a demand. It is a prompting. It is a gentle urge, a gentle nudge. And because people don't respond to that, they never get much unction in prayer. If we'll start responding to these things, the unction will get stronger and stronger and stronger. And the Spirit of God will use us in some mighty ways. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, the leadings of the Spirit will save your life. And these promptings will save the lives of others. It'll save you and I from great heartache. All because we responded to a little prompting. Amen? And so God's a father. He leads and woos and gently nudges us. And because he wants to do so much more for us. How many of you know God cares for us? He cares for his people. He cares about this nation. He cares about the people of God in this nation. But he needs somebody to respond to him. Amen? He never coerces. He never forces. Now, the natural man tends to think that, well, you know, because it's not a strong coercion, you know, it's not that important. Natural men tend to pay more attention to the loudest, most coercive voices. You understand? But see, we're not natural people. We're in training. Spirit of Faith Family Church is in training to be a spiritual church. I said, we're in training to be a spiritual church. The Lord spoke to me, you remember, and said, I want you to begin to train this congregation in the things of the Spirit. I'm doing it this morning. Amen. We're in training. Somebody says, what if I step out and miss it? Well, you learn something. That's part of your training. Amen. I'd rather miss it trying to hit it than miss it by drawing back too much. And heaven knows we've got enough drawing back. Are you with me? And so, but people tend to respond only to something that's loud and coercive. But we're not natural like that. We're spiritual, learning to be led by the Spirit. We're learning to follow these cues. And as we develop in these things, we'll learn to follow not the loudest voice, but the most important voice, which might not even be a voice at all. It might just be a prompting. Now, we've got to stop things like this, for example. We've got to stop whenever we see somebody we haven't seen for a long time, and we've been thinking about them for 3 days. We got to stop saying, wow, it's a coincidence. Isn't it interesting that I just met you? I've been thinking about you for 3 days. I guess God knew I was going to meet. No, no, no. He was trying to get you to pray for him. And whenever you saw him, he was going to have you have something for him. All you've got for him right now is a hello. Nothing in the Spirit. I'm telling you what I've learned because I've missed it in some of these areas. So don't get all down on yourself. But listen, let's learn the ways of the Spirit. You won't learn it overnight. I said you won't learn it overnight. These things have to be learned. These things have to be perfected. Amen. Amen. People want a greater move of the Spirit in their lives, but this is the key to it. I said, this is the key to it. You'll never really be great in spiritual things or great in the move of the Spirit without responding. And there are different areas that the Spirit of God is endeavoring to get His people to respond to Him on. One area is the area of prayer. I know He's talking to me about that right now, and He's talking to this whole congregation. He's endeavoring to get us to respond. You see, response is God's open door. God, we've got to open the door to God. And in these areas of the Spirit, how He gets into or gets us into these different moves of the Spirit is somebody responds to Him today. Somebody has to respond to Him. I know back in 2003, Brother Hagin prophesied. And he began out by saying some things. Yea, saith the Lord of hosts. This is in February of 2003. I think it's the last public prophecy that I think he prophesied before he went to heaven. That ought to say something to us. But he said, by the Spirit, Winter Bible Seminar, February 2003. Yea, says the Spirit, the Lord says the Lord of hosts. Walk not by what you see with the physical eye, but walk according to what my word says. Walk according to what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. For he is speaking unto many hearts, and they walk on in the natural and pay no attention to their hearts. He's speaking to many spirits. They walk on in the realm of the mental, thinking their own thoughts, planning their own ways. You know, sometimes the thing that the Spirit of God moves on us to do and pray or move with Him in the Holy Ghost somehow, sometimes it's inconvenient. And we got our own natural things that we've got to do. Are you with me? See, you say, how do you know all this, Pastor? See, I've had to learn the hard way. There's so many times that I've had to learn this whenever the Spirit of God's moving on me and I had other plans, I had things to do, I got to say, nope, wait a minute. I got to obey the Spirit here. And that's what Brother Hagin's talking about. No. That's what the Spirit is talking about. When Brother Hagin was used of the Spirit to say this, he's speaking to many spirits. They walk on in the mental, the realm of the mental, thinking their own thoughts, planning their own way. But yea, says the Lord of hosts, listen to what the Spirit is saying to your heart, to your spirit. And what He said to you, act upon it. Act upon it. Are you out there? We pride ourselves in being a word church and a word people. And right and good, for it is true, saith the Lord, you are a word people. But do not forget that you are also a Holy Ghost people. Spiritual, in other words. Yes, the word goes forth, but again and again, the Spirit has endeavored to move in your midst, and you've ignored Him, and you've kept quiet. Some have yielded temporarily to the Spirit, for the Spirit seeks to manifest Himself. He'll manifest Himself in revelation, revealing unto you, you through the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of Spirit. And He endeavors to speak, for He does speak unto His people by the Holy Ghost, but tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And many have held back and would not speak out, and by so doing have quenched the Spirit. Listen to that. The Bible talks about quenching the Spirit, doesn't it? And have even not only quenched the Spirit, but have grieved the Spirit. You know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter number 3, the children of Israel not responding to what God said to them about going into the Canaan's land. And He said, I was grieved with that generation. God can not only be grieved with a person not yielding, He can be grieved with a whole generation not yielding. Amen. These are the topone. In kataya tosheke, mande ede dode, pansan santateye, yungaluketeya. Those that have gone before you in the Spirit have endeavored to train you in the Spirit, says the Lord. And those that went before to train you in the Spirit trained you not to turn, look and behold the move of the Spirit and say, isn't that wonderful? And then turn away from it and go about your own plans and go about your own way. But they trained you in the Spirit to pick up the move of the Spirit and even, yea, move beyond where they were into a greater move of the Spirit, says the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Amen. We shouldn't be behind where they were. We should be where they are and beyond where they are or where they were. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost is saying. And so Brother Hagin's prophesied. He said, yea, listen to what the Spirit is saying. For there will be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in these last days. The latter rain, the early rain and the latter rain together in the fruit of together in the fruit of the earth, which He is waiting to receive before He comes again. Yea, it's coming. Amen. Praise God. And so these things call for a sanctification, a consecration of our lives to responding to the Spirit. Can you say amen? I said, say it real loud. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, with a few things here before we wrap up, let's not be too busy in the natural realm to respond to these things. Amen. If we're going to be skillful with the supernatural, we're going to have to give ourselves to these things and not so much to the natural. The more we override these things, the less skillful we become. And we become more proficient at staying in the flesh. But the more we yield, the more skillful we become in spiritual things. The only reason some of us, I'm including myself in this, aren't more skillful in spiritual things is because we don't respond more. Amen. And so we become proficient as we give ourselves to things. You know that's true in the natural. You become good at sports or computing or, you know, whatever you do. You can become better at it by giving yourself to it. And so God's calling for us to give ourselves to these things. Amen. Now, I remember Moses in the wilderness whenever that burning bush appeared. Moses, he said, I'm going to turn aside here. I'm going to see what this is all about. And God, whenever he saw that he turned aside, this is in the third chapter of Exodus, the Bible said God called to him out of the burning bush. What does that mean? Whenever he responded. Isn't that right? He said, I'm going to respond. And when he responded, then God was able to talk to him and move him further. Praise the Lord. It'll hinder and damage your faith, really. And injure your faith. If you and I, and my faith, if you and I keep pushing from us what the Holy Ghost is doing and what the Holy Ghost is saying, it'll hinder and damage our faith to yield to the Spirit. The Lord spoke to me about some things and he said, I want you to lead out in a spirit of faith. And he said, primarily in a spirit of faith of yielding to the Spirit. Now, see, there's faith in the Word, but there's faith. Remember, the Bible talks about Paul, he was preaching. He said that your faith, he said, I demonstrated the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There's faith in the Word, and there's faith in the power of God. There's a lot of people that got faith in the Word from Brother Hagin, but did not develop their faith in the move of the Spirit whenever Brother Hagin would demonstrate the move of the Spirit. They didn't learn to develop faith in that. They learned to preach mental sermons. Are you with me? But God's saying in this hour, it's an hour of the move of the Spirit. It's an hour of the Word, yes. We keep on preaching the Word. But it's an hour of the move of the Spirit. And it'll affect our faith. In fact, a lot of people's faith has been affected. If we keep pushing from us these moves of the Spirit when they come up out of our spirit, whether it be prayer, whether it be to prophesy, whether it be the revelation gifts, whether it be the power gifts, whether it be laying hands on the sick, whatever it might be. Are you with me? Amen. And so one reason people's faith isn't stronger to yield to the Spirit is God only gives them a small part of what he wants them to do. And the rest of what is to come, you don't know what you're going to do after that. And you don't have it all planned out. But you and I have to learn not to have our services all planned out. Can you say amen? And so sometimes one reason I know in myself, I have to talk about myself. Can't talk about anybody else, but sometimes I don't like necessarily my, now let me rephrase that. I got to rephrase that. See, that's wrong thinking. But my flesh doesn't like to yield to the Spirit because whatever I'm getting ready to do, I don't even know if I'm going to like what I'm getting ready to do. I don't even know if I want to do what I'm getting ready to do. I don't know if I want to say what I'm getting ready to say. Amen. I mean, people can not like things you say sometimes whenever the Holy Ghost says, say it. I'm in a service today like that. Amen. There's just some things I'd rather not say. I'd like to stroke everybody, tell everybody, oh, you're wonderful, you're fine, you're going to get 3 new cars next week, and everything's going to be wonderful, and praise the Lord. But some of these things are sobering, aren't they? Amen. And some reasons that we don't step out more is because we don't know what's going to happen if we do step out. What's going to happen? What's connected to that? If I obey what I'm getting ready to do right now, what's connected to that? Well, I don't know if I want to yield to whatever's coming after that. So I'll just back off. That's why the Spirit doesn't move more. And do you realize if we keep doing that, eventually he won't even move on us anymore? This is why some people say, see, it doesn't seem like God talks to me anymore about praying. Doesn't seem like I get those. Well, see, we don't respond, and that's why. Amen. You know, sometimes, if you start thinking about somebody you hadn't thought about, just start praying for them, see what happens. Just start praying for them, see what happens. And you'll find the move of the Spirit. I know the last few nights, I've been meditating on this, so I'm focusing in on doing it myself. And I'm focused. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I remember the other night, I woke up, and I prayed for an hour and a half. I don't know how many people came to me in the Spirit, and I prayed for them. And I prayed things, your mind, you think, well, I don't know what they need prayer for, but you get over in the Spirit praying for them, and there's all kinds of things the Holy Ghost needs them to have. Amen. And so there's much to do. There's much work to be done. Hallelujah. Let's get it done. What do you say? You know, a church might look like it's doing all right, and the Spirit of Faith does seem to be doing all right, but how much more could we have if everybody brought their supply of the Spirit? Let's go for it. What do you say? Let's give ourselves to prayer. Now, the Spirit works and works on people sometimes to bring about a complete response and bring them into complete obedience to His perfect will. But there comes a point at some times, there comes a point that whenever they've continually turned away from the dealings of the Spirit, that He won't deal with them anymore. Genesis 6:3 says, "My Spirit will not always strive with man." What does that mean? That means God won't just keep moving on people that don't respond. Amen. After that, when God doesn't deal with them anymore, a lot of times from then on, they're in the enemy's hands. Not because it's God's will. See, like in Israel, whenever Jesus said in Luke 13, He said, "How often I wanted to do this, but you would not." Well, see then, because He couldn't do anything, they're in the enemy's hands. And the enemy moved in and he brought desolation. Not because it was God's will, because of no response. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of God won't deal with you and I forever. He won't deal with this nation. He won't deal with the body of Christ forever. This generation could miss the move of the Spirit and it skipped to the next generation. Amen. Wow, this generation goes through heartache. Let's not have it. Amen. I said, let's not have it. There comes a time when God will say, that's enough. I've given them space to respond, but they have continually turned away from my Spirit's dealings. And I'll let them go their own rebellious way and eat the fruit of doing so. It's not God's will, but He has to let us do. See, He's made us free moral agents. Amen. You see, a lot of times the move of the Spirit's throttled when His people hold back. Now, somebody said, well, this sounds real negative today. I'm endeavoring to, I didn't want to preach it this way either. I wanted it to be more positive. But let's not return aside the corrections of the Spirit. Because I'll tell you, this is a big problem in the body of Christ. It's a big issue. This is why so many people aren't progressing more. Why the move of the Spirit? They don't have a greater move of the Spirit in their own life. You know, God wants to have He wants to move on all lives. He wants to move in prayer. He wants to move in revelation gifts. He wants you to have revelation about your future, your family, the plan of God for your family, what you're supposed to do, how to help your relatives, how to pray things out for them, so many things. Amen. And so, but because they don't respond and stop moving with God, then God stops moving on them. And then things come and get into their lives. God didn't intend for that to be there. But remember, whenever that happens, when you and I miss out on what God had for us, that we chose to miss out. I know that sounds hard. Somebody said, well, I didn't choose this. Well, whenever we chose not to respond to the Holy Ghost, we did. I said, we chose it. It wasn't God withholding something from us. Maybe we thought we were just setting aside a prompting, but we were actually forfeiting what was connected to that prompting. Somebody said, what was connected to it? 1 Corinthians 12:7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. What for? To profit with all. What was connected to that manifestation? Profit. Somebody is going to get profit out of that. You and I are going to get profit out of it. Somebody that we were supposed to pray for is going to get profit out of it. But if we miss out on that, then we thought we just missed the prompting. No, we missed the profit. We missed the prophet. Amen. And we chose. The Lord deals with me in strong ways sometimes, and that's what He's dealing with me about. You chose to not respond to that. Well, I just didn't know if it was important or not. Well, we chose and said it wasn't important by not responding. Amen. When it comes to prayer, someone's life could be affected. Someone's life could be on the line by us failing to respond. And something that was supposed to happen did not happen or won't happen. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? So thank God for the word this morning. I know it wasn't all rosy and feel good, but yet right on the other hand, we've got to hear these things. Sometimes, I don't know how God deals with you, but I know there's different ways God deals with me. Sometimes He loves me into things. Sometimes He gives me a kick in the behind and gets me into some things because I'm not responding. You know, he'll work with us all different ways. But I believe the Spirit of God's talking to us. I believe He wants us to get up and do some more praying about our nation right now, about Spirit of Faith Family Church, and some things that have gotten in our lives. I believe we need to watch over our lives. And so these things don't get in.